My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Oh, good evening. This is episode 390 of the Super JCast. It is Monday, the 1st of December, 2025. Here to discuss shows 5 through 8 of the World Tag League. My name is Frankie. I am a friend of the Super JCast, and this begins week 2 of the listener takeover of the Super JCast. Today, I'm joined by my good friend Jacob. Jacob, how are you this evening, or afternoon for you, I guess, mate?
Yeah, afternoon over here in the East Coast US. I'm doing well. Interesting times in the New Japan.
Very, very interesting times in the New Japan sphere, I guess. I guess the thing that I'm always interested in speaking to people who found the way into following a Japanese wrestling promotion when they're on the other half of the world is, how did you first sort of get into New Japan, and what's your sort of history with wrestling, and I think also what's your current view of World Tag League historically, and
I've had some level of wrestling in my life. My entire life, like I had family members who were into wrestling, so like as early as like I have memories, I can remember there being like wrestling on the TV, like US wrestling, and like when I was like a kid, you know, like 7, 8, 9, I was watching WWE and TNA on TV. As I got older into like middle school and high school, I think like many, I realized that US wrestling is maybe not the most interesting thing. And there was probably a time where I was maybe not going to be a wrestling fan at all. But then I found New Japan. I think I found ROH first, and that led me to New Japan. I was vaguely aware of New Japan before. Like, I think I'd seen like some of the IWGP titles on TNA TV. Like, I think the Machine Guns at one point were junior tag champs.
They were, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this and, we didn't discuss this before we went on, but super interesting because mine is the exact same pathway into New Japan. So big WWE, not WWF at the time, and WCW. I felt like I was probably one of about 12 bloody people that actually followed WCW in the 90s in the UK. Ruthless Aggression era rolls around, kind of fell out of touch with it, and then there was this channel which was on Sky. It was like basic cable that you could get, which was called the Wrestling Channel, And they used to have, like, you remember the weekly original, like, TNA pay-per-views that they had? They had those on them. And I was like, they had some of the original ROH pay-per-views, but they also used to do, like, wrestler retrospectives. And one of the wrestler retrospectives that they used to have, which was, like, a block on a Sunday evening, was, like, one of them was Liger. I think one of them might have even been, like, Manami Toyota. So this was, like, 2004-ish. And being able to see just on, like, basic cable, like, a 2.5-hour block of Liger matches was mind-blowing for me. So big ROH fan, big TNA fan. Through ROH, became a fan of Noah. And then my entry into New Japan was through Best of the Super Juniors and Devitt in his rise. And then going on really from the Bullet Club. But the thing that really stuck me in was when Shibata and Sakuraba came back at Wrestle Kingdom 7. Big MMA fan at the time as well. And then since New Japan World came around, I think I've been following ever since. So going up 11 years next year, and seen some of the greatest wrestling that I've ever seen. And then the last couple of years, seeing the most directionless nonsense that we've seen. But I think we'll probably get into that. Absolutely. There is a listener question here as well. There is one that someone put into the overall Discord that I'd like to bring up, if I can just find it in a second. So someone put in the Discord, and I think this is a nice segue as to what else. I'm interested to get your feelings and your take on New Japan this year. But I'm convinced at Wrestle Kingdom, Tana wins because Takeshita interferes so that Okada doesn't win. How about it? I think I might finally go through and cancel my New Japan World subscription if that does go through. But yeah.
Well, speaking of, they're actually I've already had that moment, but I came back.
Yeah.
My moment was this year when Evil beat Tsuji in the G1 was it the semifinals that he beat Tsuji?
Oh yeah, with the bollocks. You know, is he injured? Yeah. Is he really injured? That and going on into the finals. So that was your breaking point at the time.
My New Japan World subscription was gonna renew the next day, and I was like, I am not paying.
Okay.
For an Evil G1 Climax Finals. And then I kept up with the shows after that, like, but I wasn't watching all of them. And then I resubscribed for because the tournament started again. I resubscribed before Super Junior Tag League, and I've watched everything I missed. But yeah, I don't trust the booking of New Japan these days, I don't think I can see Takeshita interfering, but who knows? That would certainly be a thing, right?
I think you'd have to think on the for someone as monumentally important as Hiroshi Tanahashi, using that as a plot point or another company's booking, given the booking malpractice and the quiet quitting that's gone on with Gato and the booking team, I think even that would be a stretch too far. I think you either get a super healed up Okada eating shit and doing a Tanahashi a solid, or Okada just beats him, powders out the ring, and you get all of the crying and, you know, every single towel in that stadium being used to dry his tears, and a very, very feel good moment. I can't possibly see something like that happening. But I think the question has to be asked, because shit, they've done some baffling things this year, and
they have.
I think the biggest frustrating thing for me is, and I think there's something I want to talk about when we go through the blocks as well, is that it's not as if they've got, I think the most frustrating thing for me this year is it's not as if they are without talent. Like, even some of the older guys who were mid-carders in the Halcyon era of the Bushiroad in the 2010s. A lot of those guys are still around. They are older. They're a bit slower, but they're still over to a certain aspect with the audience, and they can still go. It's just the glacial pace at which they've booked every single aspect of anyone under the age of 35, bar Tsuji, and even then they've probably gone very, very slow with him. Is just super, super frustrating. It's not as if they've got a bunch of shitters on the roster who aren't any good, which is the biggest frustrating thing for me. So good matches in a vacuum with a load of nonsense trying to throw and slap together is a general overall feeling, but maybe I'm huffing on Corpion, but I do see 2026 getting better, I guess, maybe. Who knows?
We can hope.
We can indeed hope. So, yeah, let's get into it and let's go through to the the match.
Before we go on, I will say, like, I going off what you were saying earlier, something that I've often said about New Japan is that the booking being so bad is actually made worse. Because I still think they have the best roster in wrestling. I think that arguably they still have the most great matches in wrestling. And that makes the fact that they can't figure out how to book even worse.
I was absolutely jubilant when New Begin Osaka happened early on this year, because I think I'd struggle to find any other promotion in the entire world who had as good a core main and a main event, which were completely different from each other. It's a problem that AEW falls into a lot of the times, and having very, very much sameness when it comes to a lot of their matches up and down the card. The absolute jubilance of all finally winning the big one after having a really, really good G1 the previous year, and then coming back through, and then they just did nothing with it. We're going to talk about Callum during the block breakdowns. But he was the only young guy that he ended up defending the title against, and that was due to happenstance because WWE booked New Japan, and that was supposed to be Jeff Cobb. And it's just the talent's there, and I think that's just what makes it super frustrating. Yeah. Before we get into the block night and day five as well, what did you make of the World Tag League lineup as it came around? Because it was a lot more interesting than it has been in previous years. A lot less overseas transplants into the promotion, but. If you'd asked me to predict at the start, yeah, that Tsuji Ishikawa would be tagging with Despair in World Tag League, I would have been like, how the fuck did that happen? But yeah, I think this is probably one of the stronger ones of recent years, and sort of the odd couple pairings with sort of unaffiliated XLIJ and the War Dogs has thrown up some really, really interesting teams. What did you make of the tag league lineup when you saw it?
Yeah, it's a good lineup. I think you could make a better lineup, but not that much. Yeah. Like, you know, I can like nitpick here and there, like replace this guy with this guy and whatnot. And I think there's one team that we absolutely did not need, but for the most part, it's a good lineup. I think I was actually like, I was one of the highest people on last year's tournament. And I think World Tag Leagues have actually been better than like we remember lately. I think we've actually had a couple good ones lately.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I like the lineups. I think a lot of the new teams have worked really well.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in the same boat. think last year, I think Hiromu and Naito did a perhaps a lot of the heavy lifting, and I think, you know, Tsuji being paired up with Gabe Kidd this year versus was it Sonata last year? I think that's a rank improvement.
I thought it was Tsuji and Shingo last year.
Oh no, I'm talking about Gabe with Sonata.
Oh, yeah. Wait, no, that couldn't have been. No, yeah, it could have. You're right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was, because I'm gonna have to.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, but yeah, I thought it was an enjoyable one. But with that said, let's jump into the block night. So, first night is block five. I've got here on New Japan's website, night five, 6th of November, at the Thendai Sun Plaza, attendance of 1,533. Skip into the night here. So first match, we have team of Chase and Yujiro defeated by Gabe and Yotsuji in 9 minutes and 11 seconds via the Warblaster. What did you make of this one, Matt?
You know, Chase and Yujiro were the team I was talking about where, like, no one really needs this. Ironically, I actually thought this match was better than I expected. I actually, like, didn't hate this match. I actually thought the wrestling in it was pretty good.
Yeah. I think the big problem with a lot of tournament booking that New Japan has gone through is with parity booking and everyone being the same. I think you do need a team of just, I mean this with all the greatest respect in the world, a team of utter shitters who are going to get pinned, who are going to be staring at the lights, 7 nights out of 8. And if you need him to get have a spoiler victory, you can do that. Both of them know the jobs very, very well. So I'm not mad at them being in the tournament.
I agree with your point. I will just, like, devil's advocate here. You can just take a roster member and put, like, Murashima in here as your pin loss team.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. But yeah. I thought this was super enjoyable for what it was. 9 minutes, super breezy. Got down here. I very, very much enjoyed that the level of House of Torture bollocks was kept to a low, which is always nice. Something that I've noticed with Yujiro, apart from one or two instances. So nice and breezy start to the A block matches on this card. And we'll then get to the match we the headed into
before we go
six
on,
of I wanted to, Satoshi Kojima I wanted to... and Taichi, the refounding of Kojima Gun versus Shuji Ishikawa and El Desperado, with Desperado rolling up Kojima in 12 minutes and 15 seconds. I thought this was super enjoyable. Again, talking about someone who understands their role, at 50 years old, and I think the average age of this combined lineup is probably in the region of 200 or there or thereabouts combined age. Not being super familiar with his work, but I've definitely seen some of his tag matches with Suwama, and I've always been very, very impressed about what he does. And obviously he stands out in terms of his Japanese talent, but some really, really good strike exchanges with Kojima, and massive pop in the arena when Taichi finally hits Ishikawa with the dangerous backdrop. And I thought this was super enjoyable. And again, another very, very breezy watch, really.
I really liked this one. It was on pace to maybe be my favorite match out of these, like, group of four shows. I did note that they kind of botched the finish a little bit. They were going. I've lost you there, mate. Can you not hear me? That is, I can hear. I've been hearing you perfectly. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello. Why can you not hear me? Hello. Hello?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Right. We'll have to tell you what.
We might need to, so I didn't I think you weren't hearing me for a little while because I tried to say something earlier and I thought you were just trying to move along, but I think you weren't hearing me.
I was a bit. I tell you what, we'll do that as an edit point. So we'll do that and we'll just let Dan know when we send it across where there was some issues. So if we do it, I think we started at 19:12, so we're about 20 minutes in. So we'll do this as an edit point here. And we'll do that over again. So into match six, team of Satoshi Kojima and Taichi, the refounding of Kojima Gun, versus El Desperado and Shuji Ishikawa, finished with 12 minutes, 15 seconds, with El Desperado rolling up Satoshi Kojima. Talking about someone who knows the role really, really well. Super familiar with Shuji Ishikawa's work in the past. I've seen some of his tag matches with Suwama and some of his work in All Japan and Big Japan, and I've always been impressed with some of the matches that he's got. But there's a man who knows his job and knows his job well. Some really, really good strike exchanges with Kojima and Taichi, and so the crowd pop big when Taichi's finally able to get the big man off his feet with a dangerous backdrop. Thought it was super, super enjoyable. Another breezy, breezy watch. Something that I like about New Japan's sort of house style evolving is we're getting a lot less Ospreyism and we're getting a lot more harder hitting strike based offense. And that's sort of permeating throughout the roster. And I think this was all of the above and in abundance. Slight flub on the finish with the roll-up. I don't really know what happened there. I don't know if Despy flubbed his lines a little bit or if it was Kojima, but otherwise, really, really fun and something that the crowd popped for big with a surprise roll-up ending. So, yeah, I thought it was great. What about you?
Yeah, I really liked the match. I think it was on pace, maybe, to be my like favorite match of this group of four shows, but... They did kind of botch the ending a bit, but it was still like I'd say one of my favorite matches of these group of shows for sure. I really enjoy Ishikawa. He's been there's been different times where people have kind of been like Ishikawa's kind of been on is he washed watch. People kind of been wondering that for a while, but he can turn it on and he's been a breath of fresh air. Despy hasn't looked his best, honestly, but he's been serviceable at least. I think Ishikawa's carrying the team, but I really like this match.
I think the novelty factor and the little castle flares that Ishikawa has got has been fun. And I think Despy was, I think they did it in the first night when obviously he had that back brace that he had on that got torn off. He's been through it this year with he's had a couple of death matches and whatnot. I don't know if he sprained his back or something like that, but I think this might be one thing where I don't know if he's just trying to get through World Tag League, get through to the end of the year and then make some time off, but he does look a bit banged up. But I think 6'5" and 50-year-old, you kind of know what you're getting with Shuji Ishikawa, and high work rate and backflips in it, but he definitely he serves his role very, very well. I thought it was great. I thought it was a really, really fun match. On to the seventh match, you have the team of Don Farley and King of Darkness Evil beating the team of Driller Maloney and Shingo Takagi in 13 minutes and 13 seconds with a Evil to finish up the match. I am absolutely bloody loving the team of Driller and Shingo. It's given me everything that I really, really enjoy about sort of brainless dumb jock wrestling in the nicest possible and endearing way, and seem to be getting over, and there's a crowd swell of support. I would have never thought that this team would be as popular as it was so quickly. Like a big Carl Weathers and Arnie and Predator vibes with Driller and Shingo, and I love it. But this match is kind of what I was expecting. And we're trying to do as much as they can with someone as limited as Don Farley, and trying to get him up with the double team made in Japan that they've got going on, and dick to dick contact, the dragon to dick contact with again,
yeah,
Aiki Nagai again. That got me a laugh. And if there's one thing that Evil does well, he knows how to eat shit very, very well as a heel, and I between finding him extremely aggravating to absolutely hilarious. So this was enjoyable and kind of what you expect for a House of Torture match, especially mid tour. I thought it was decent enough stuff. What about you?
It's kind of just a match that was there. I would say I enjoyed some of the antics in this match, some of the house antics. Togo getting the camera when they were doing Shingo's I don't know what to call it, his what is the translation, like his time is now or whatnot, that's what Chris Charlton says.
Takagi time, I think it is.
Yeah, is well it? Yeah, they were doing that and Togo like took the camera and did it himself. That was funny. And then they got Nagai in there to do the dick to dick contact. Yeah, there was some fun in there. Other than that, it was kind of just a match that existed, but some fun antics.
Definitely, definitely. So on to the main event. We have the team of Bishamon beating team of Bolt and Oleg Torriano in 17 minutes and 6 seconds via Shoto. What did you make of this? And what are you interested to see? Bolton's had a really, really funny year and ends up taking the title off of Takeshita to obviously free him up for the G1, and then virtually immediately straight away loses it to Evil for the Aaron Wolf program. So I think he's had a funny year. What do you make of Bolton, and what did you make of this match in particular?
I liked the match. It wasn't great, but I quite enjoyed it. I will say that this is one of those things where I'm like, at some point we have to find a way to get Yano off these like, I know he's already off of the G1s mostly, like a lot of you know, he's missed some G1s, but this is a waste of Oleg. He's so good. But yeah, this wasn't bad. It was a good match. I love Bishamon, you know. I was driving in my car the other day, a week or two ago as the tournament was getting started, and I was playing music and the Bishamon theme song came on, and I was like, oh yeah, it's World Tag League season. Let's get into it.
Yeah. It's probably one of my current favorite themes in New Japan. I love the interactions with Yoshihashi and Bolton Oleg in this one as well. Just absolutely popping the shit out of each other, and I think Yoshihashi ended up hitting a rebound sort of dragon suplex on Bolton Oleg, and I was like, oh shit. This match, probably not the best utilization of Bolton and Yano. I think it's, you know, if Bolton had a more worthwhile partner, I think this is probably could have probably hit some higher heights. There was one, there is another match that we're going to discuss a little bit later, where I actually thought, oh, that was very, very interesting from Yano. But yeah, you're getting the shenanigans as well. But interesting point as well, because I don't think we mentioned this as well. There's some funny reactions with this is the only night where Walker ended up having a guest commentator with Callum Newman, and his reaction to to one of the bottles being vinegar. He's like, oh, just absolutely Essex reaction. I was like, oh, it got a pop out of me. I thought this was interesting enough. That takes us on to night five. So on to night six, which is, I'll give it its full title, the Arena of the Ring. So this is Friday, November the 28th, in B block action. We were in Aomori, to be pronounced, the Aomori City General Gymnasium. Attendance 1,187, and we skip straight to the B block matches. First match, the team of Monster Sauce, Alex Zane, defeating the odd couple of Hiromu Takahashi and David Finlay in 9 minutes and 1 second via Blackout Sauce. What did you make of this, Jacob? And are you happy to see for a 2-year hiatus, the return of Monster Sauce? And what have you made of Hiromu and Finlay teaming up so far?
Yeah, I like this match a lot. I liked kind of these are the two teams where they're throwing around their own tag team partners. You have Archer throwing Zane around, Finlay throwing Hiromu around.
One willingly, one unwillingly.
Yeah, I like when Hiromu occasionally in these matches will turn it around and send Finlay into someone. I really like Hiromu and Finlay. They've got a good thing going. I know some people think it's wearing thin. It hasn't for me, really. Not yet, at least. I think Finlay's just so good. Finlay is so charismatic. He carries these matches with his charisma for me. And Monster Sauce are one of these teams where I've seen some people not like that we have these people who just show up for the tournaments. I disagree. I quite enjoy that Alex Zane is coming in for World Tag League every year. I don't know. I think it's good to have those people. And I quite enjoyed Monster Sauce, and good match.
Yeah, I mean you talk about our sort of gateway into New Japan being sort of like TNA and stuff like that. I mean, you wouldn't see all year round Multi-City Machine Guns. I know they are more of a formulated tag team, but you'd see Alex Shelley and Best of Super Juniors. You'd see Multi-City Machine Guns on select tags. It's definitely a place for people who are in for specific tournaments and who get flown in. I can't remember his name. Now his name escapes me. He's just joined the War Dogs as a junior. He's a British wrestler. Oh shit! What's he called?
Oh, Robbie X.
Robbie X. Yeah, I mean, he's absolutely got a place. But yeah, I just find I've always enjoyed Hiromu. It's an interesting fact, me and him are the exact same age. He will be turning 36 on this Thursday, same as me. And I've always found his sort of, and having to refine it as well, just due to the crazy amount of injuries that he's had over the years and evolving the style. And I got a big laugh out of me when he's squaring up the Lance Archer at the start of this match, all the way to run out and tag Finlay out, and then just stand at the end of the ramp, and then Finlay's like, okay, well, guess I got to do it. And another fun spot as well when Archer's walking around the entire ring with Hiromu on, and then he's just shouting to the young lions to get the stairs, and he just climbs up the stairs with them on his back, and then just dumps them in the ring. It's an entertaining team, and I think this is one of the really fun things of tag league this year, throwing up these combinations. So it was enjoyable. 9 minutes was an absolute breeze to watch, and yeah, I enjoyed it. So on to the sixth match, we have the team of Rui Inamura and Shota Umino, or Shoya. Some Peters, I think is that what they've said that they want to be called, or what the team's called? Shoya. Taking on United Empire team of Callum Newman and Great Okan, with Callum Newman pinning Shota Umino after 15 minutes and 18 seconds with Excalibur, which I don't think, apart from this, I think that's a new finisher. I might be wrong, about your new finisher. Yeah.
One of my notes is actually about that. Yeah. I actually, what do you think about him using the kind of double stomp to the head as a finisher? I don't love it as a finisher, honestly.
I think it needs a bit of work. I think it needs a bit of workshopping in terms of like getting in and out of it. Same sort of problem that Oiwa's had with the grip, and just being like super awkward with how he sets it up. Like, clearly was in the finish for this, he clearly wasn't, I don't know whether or not if he was rushing to the time call or whatever, and like went to look as if he was going to let Shota naturally sort of like come up so he can hit it, but then he ends up going over and like picking him up, running back to the corner and then hitting it. I don't mind it. I prefer the sort of the Bloody Sunday that he did. I think he calls that, yeah, Prince's Curse. I've always enjoyed that, but yeah, what did you make of this match? And I don't think we actually discussed about too much about Callum being on guest commentary the previous night and healing it up, and there was a bit more of an elevation of the heelish antics with Jacob Austin Young getting involved in this match. What did you make of it, and what do you make of the positioning of Callum?
If they are turning United Empire heel, or UE's breaking up and some of these people are going to go into a heel group. It is interesting. I've noticed Great O'Conn hasn't been as heelish as Callum and JAY. Yeah. At least that's the vibe I've got. So I wonder if that's kind of a hint that Great O'Conn isn't going to go wherever they're going. I've liked it. I think Callum's due for a push. He deserves it. His improvement this year has been amazing. I really like this match. I will say, I think I had higher expectations for this match than what I got. This ended up, you know, World Tag League is kind of a house show tour. Like, some of these shows, they're just not going to go full effort, and I kind of felt that here. But I will say, I really enjoyed the struggle between Uemura and Callum with the deadbolt. That I did really like.
I enjoy that, and that's something that Yui has been doing. I think he did it during the G1. It's something I really enjoy about that struggle that he has to hit it. And I thought the heavy sort of strike exchange with Shota and Callum was really enjoyable. And the same with you. I definitely think that there is a future turn coming for Callum. Sheds the last vestiges of sort of being the Osprey pupil/clone. Comes out, refreshes his moveset, clearly been watching his debit tapes. I get some Kenta vibes from him as well, just being a cocky little shit. Except he's, you know, it's like he doesn't have the sort of the plucky side of Kenta, being obviously over 6 foot. But yeah, just sometimes New Japan can be very, very on the nose with this kind of stuff, and you know they give you the breadcrumbs, and historically it's always gone one way, and I think it's just the level of the booking and where that's gone is like you never know what's going to happen, which causes second guess ourselves. But if any other sort of white dude who is turning heelish and starts coming out in a leather jacket and is doing Bullet Club leader finishes from the past, we were going, he's about to probably join the Bullet Club, but I think it's just the level of where the company's at that has a second guess in itself. But yeah, I'm the same on you as well. I thought this had another gear. I was expecting probably a little bit more, but then third from the top probably is about as best you're going to get without it being slotted into the main event slot as well. So I enjoyed it for what it was and thought it was pretty good. But yeah, on to the seventh match. We had the team of Renneria and Sanada taking on and beating the team of TMDK in Ryohei Oiwa and Zack Sabre Jr. in 14 minutes and 4 seconds via a heavily assisted Hell's Guillotine match. This kind of stuff is sometimes where I struggle a little bit, and you keep it fairly clean, but the House of Torture bollocks definitely escalated towards the end, shall we say, and it was okay. Is what I would say aggressively fine for me. What about you?
My exact notes here are somehow house interference finishes keep getting worse. Ruined a match I actually was really enjoying because I think this is one of these matches where there's just good chemistry. Zack and Sanada, notably Sanada's best opponent, I think. And Zack and Narita also probably Narita's best opponent. And I thought Narita and Oiwa showed off some chemistry here.
It did.
But yeah, the finish was atrocious.
Probably one of the bright spots, but it's just I think this is like a natural reaction when you have three House of Torture teams over two blocks, and yeah, wasn't my favorite outing for both teams. This tour so far is what I will say. That's probably damn unfair praise, but there we are. So on to the main event. We had the team of the Knockout Brothers, the IWGP Tag Team Champions, defeating the team of El Fantasmo and Hiroshi Tanahashi in 16 minutes and 43 seconds. It's got on New Japan's website here via Cruella. I think that's the knee strike that Yuto Ice's has as a finisher.
I think it's more like a single leg like drop kick, kind of just a kick right to the face.
Yeah. What did you make of this?
I really enjoyed this. I'm really happy that Yuto got his win. You know, he got his win over Tanahashi. I didn't think about it going into this match, but I think I would have been upset if Yuto never, like, obviously he's not going to get another singles match, but I think I would have been upset if he never got a pin over Tanahashi, like, in a big, you know, in a main event. So I'm really happy about that. And speaking of the Cruella, I actually thought the one he hit on Tana in this match was actually one of the best one he's done so far. That's a move he's nailing. I will say, like, the Bomboclat knee, I have real problems with. It looks bad.
I think he's been saved by, I think, you know, a Japanese dude throwing out a bit of cheeky patois in his when coming from Excursion was probably enough to distract the fact that does need a bit of workshopping and to absolutely lay that shit in. But yeah, I really enjoy this match. Really enjoyed Yuto getting his win back, and the exchanges with Yuto Ice and Tanahashi. I think there's chat in the build up to it saying that he needed to obviously get his win back, and he ends up doing it. Super popular in the building as well, and the tour so far is very, very much going out for this. Is obviously they're going to a lot more regional markets than they would do traditionally throughout tours, and this will be the last time that they get to see Hiroshi Tanahashi. I think this is probably one of his last main events that we'll probably see apart from the big one at the Dome. So there's a lot riding to it, and yeah, I'm glad that that Yuto got his win back here. In general, what have you made of sort of the return from excursion of the Knockout Brothers? Because I think Yuto Ice is doing wonders. That a lot of his elder statesmen in the company for the young guys haven't necessarily done in terms of dragging shit out of them. I think what he's been able to get out of Yuya Uemura's bit has been absolutely fantastic. Then I'd even completely forgot about with him obviously breaking his, was his elbow, his shoulder? I can't remember. And the injury that he had in there, obviously happened during COVID times, and a lot of those shows absolutely meld together. I think he's been absolutely fantastic, and I think Oscar is, he's again filling his role very, very well. Always love a bloke of his size going over the top rope. My first introduction to wrestling was Diesel in the mid-90s. So I'll always enjoy seeing that, and I think they've been fantastic since coming back from excursion. What about you?
I really like the Knockout Brothers. Yuto Ice. I think the thing about him is he's just such a complete character. You know, he has that charisma.
That's who he is.
He has that almost like Naito, like after Naito went to Mexico, kind of charisma.
Yeah, yeah.
Like obviously they're not the same character, but like he just pops off the screen. I might be a little less high on his in-ring work than some people. But he's good. He's really good. I think he needs some work. I'm probably actually higher than most people on Oscar's in-ring work. I actually think Oscar has a lot of potential. I imagine Oscar eventually can find his place as, like, I know we're thinking of modern version of him, so this is going to sound like an insult to Oscar, but it's not. Finding his place as, like, the bad luck Fale when Fale used to get his, like, one big title challenge a year. Like, usually it was against Okada, because Okada could get really good matches out of Fale when almost no one else could. Like, I imagine Oscar can, like, really excel in, like, the big man who can, like, beat the top guys in the tournament and, like, have, like, your B-show world title challenge.
I think it's something that's missed since Lance Archer has moved on to AEW as well, where you've got someone where you've just got a different type of match. Like I always say, like your traditional sort of big man, smaller man match. I think the best example of that, remember Ospreay and Archer having an absolute banger of a match in the G1 a couple of years back, and I was just like, this is absolutely fantastic. And I think Oscar can definitely fill that role, because I mean, Don Farley was never the most mobile, and he definitely isn't now. Obviously, Lance Archer is you know, inhibited in the amount of data that he can work. So having someone who is able to fill that sort of monster role, and Jonah did it for a little bit, but before he went back off to WWE. So I think it's something that's missing, and I think he could definitely fulfill that role. Yeah. What have you made about, and I mean, I know it's a make do for last year as well, and I know there's been some discussion online of this obviously being one of the counting down into the last month of Tanahashi's career. What did you make of the the ELP team. I can't say I was massively a fan of it, but I think it then just goes back to who else would he necessarily tag with, given the current state? Would he tag with a young lion? I'd be like, that doesn't feel right and feel appropriate. And ELP is clearly very, very popular backstage, and I think like clearly really, really likes him. So as much as I was like, I'm not really a massive fan of that. Again, it's his last fucking month of as an active in-ring competitor. If he wanted to team with ELP, I don't really mind so much, to be honest. What about you?
Yeah, like at the end of the day, I'm not going to complain. Like ELP is such a guy where like I have no opinion on him these days. Like he could if ELP misses some shows, I won't notice. Like he's just a guy on the roster who I'm like, couple times a year he has a really good match, and then other than that, he's just not a guy I really care about that much. I like that he's on the roster. You know, everyone says he's a nice guy. And that's a good thing to have on the roster. You know. He's just kind of existing and he's competent. That's what I have to say about ELP.
Yeah, and he's fulfilled his role in a lot of these tag matches as well. So I can't really grumble too much really. Okay, cool. Going on to match 7. Which took place on Saturday, November 29th, in the Mutsu Miera Arena in Aomori. I believe that's a prefecture. With an attendance of 1,208. I'm skipping to the first block match in A block. We had the team of Evil and Don Farley beating Kojima Gun in 9 minutes and 18 seconds via Evil. I think I can probably kind of guess what you're going to say. You're saying this one, mate. But what did you make of this one?
I have a lot more to actually say about the next match after this. There was obviously some house interference and all that stuff here, but this one wasn't too offensive.
Yeah.
I will note, I think Kojima and Taichi, if I'm correct, they're Team 100 is their official team name, because they have a combined age of 100 years old. Which is amusing.
Yeah. I think that was something that was that was said on commentary during this one. I didn't have skipped over. Have New Japan got it wrong? Oh no, the first match of this of the B block.
I'm so sorry. We did get this wrong.
Yeah. Say what?
Actually, this is the match I have things to talk about.
I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll make another. We are at 52 minutes. I'll do another edit point.
Okay. Yeah.
They're also as well. There's definitely 5, 6, 7, 8. That makes sense. Charlton's got a lot of rant for updating it like this. Give me 1 second. And now, okay, on to night number 7. It took place in the Mutsu Maeda Arena in Aomori, Saturday, the 29th of November. Skip to the A block matches. The first A block match of the night was Shingo and Driller Maloney beating the team of Chase Owens and Yujiro Takahashi in 9 minutes, 55 seconds with the War Dragon. Yeah. This is the thing. These two matches back to back are the things which the exact same jump start finish. But again, I think what I said
I noted that as well. The exact same start.
The exact same jump start, and it's like, do you not think you probably want to confer with each other in the back lads about what you're going to do? And it's just, I think that having those two matches sort of back to back is just, it's the thing which just gets a bit, sometimes becomes a bit of a drag to watch. But again, really, really enjoying this Shingo and Driller team. Huge around chase, know what the role is. Nice and breezy. With Shingo picking up the pin here, I don't really have a further great deal to add on that one, Jacob. I don't know if you've got anything else, mate.
No, this was this is another one of those house matches where, like, yeah, they had the jump start, they had an interference finish, but this one didn't bother me too much. Shingo and Maloney continue to be entertaining. I guess I will give props to Yujiro for being less bad than I thought he would be this tournament so far. Yeah. that's what I have to say. It was all right.
Yeah, cool. Onto the sixth match. The team of Satoshi Kojima and Team Taichi, which I believe you said, Norton commentary being dubbed Team 100, because combined age is 145 for Taichi and 55 for Satoshi Kojima. Lose out to King of Darkness, Evil, and Don Farley in 9 minutes and 18 seconds, with Evil picking up their win against Kojima after its finish. Evil. I will say the ending spot to this match did give me a bit of a chuckle, with the sort of the misdirection spot. That was funny, but otherwise, got nothing. It was less than 10 minutes. It was enjoyable enough. Taichi and Kojima have had better and probably will have better matches throughout this tour, but didn't outstay its welcome, and it's probably the best amount of praise I can give it.
Yeah, I actually really disliked this match. This is the one House of Torture match I didn't like at all. I have a note, like, at the end of this match, Taichi is like, the planned finish here is that they're all the House of Torture guys have come out and they're interfering, and Taichi is supposed to be distracted and, like, chasing them off of a chair. The problem is, in the ring, they take too long. So Taichi looks like an absolute idiot, because he's just, like, he has the chair, he's ran off the house. Like, the other house guys that came out to interfere, he's already ran them off. And then he just kind of has to stand there and watch Evil cheat and win. Yeah, it was a really bad finish.
I think this is probably the most aggravating aspect of it. It's just because of how ever permanent they are over these tournaments and the prevalence of the interference. There's only so many matches. If New Japan ran half of the dates that they do, I don't think I would find it as aggravating as I end up doing. But it's just, it must be tricky for them to come up with new and fresh interference spots. And when they do come up with it, I do generally get a laugh out of me. And they do play the roles very well. But it's just, yeah, sometimes the execution can just come off very, 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 very wonky, shall we say. But yeah, there's a match up next, which I'm sure we'll probably both have a bit more to talk about. So up to seventh match, we have the team of Bishamon losing up to the team of Shuji Ishikawa and El Desperado, with Shuji Ishikawa picking up the win, interestingly enough, over Yoshihashi via Giant Slam. It's like a wrist clutch angle slam almost, I believe. And yeah, I thought this was fucking great, mate. What about you?
I think you sounds like you liked it more than I did. I thought it was good. Was it one of my favorite matches? I actually, this show was actually my least favorite show of the four.
Yeah.
This match is the best match on this show, but I still didn't think it was great. But I will say, like, I think this was the match particularly where I just found myself not enjoying Desperado. I have Desperado fatigue, I think. But I will continue to say Ishikawa, breath of fresh air. I've loved him in this tournament. But
I think I believe my notes were probably how effervescent I probably was about the match was probably after two back-to-back Houch matches, which had two jump starts. So perhaps on rewatch it's not as good. But yeah, interactions with Yoshihashi and Goto and Shuji Ishikawa, I thought were fantastic. There's something, not that nothing New Japan would ever use them in a singles capacity. I don't think that would do.
Despy seems to have some pull. I don't know.
Getting Kukai in with the tag league as well. So you know, I do think that's an interesting avenue that they do go with. But yeah, I really, really enjoyed this match. I was a big fan of seeing strong style Yoshihashi laying his shit in, and he laid it into great effect on this match. And again, another breezy watch, less than 11 minutes. I thought this was really, really good. Just on that point as well, with some of the outsiders that we've seen, heavy Dragon Gate involvement in Junior Tag League, and New Japan's finances and their ability to the want necessarily being, and there's some reports about, you know, them being able to get AEW talent, but then not necessarily being able to then pay them to come over as well. And a bit more of a leaning into perhaps the vast depth that the native Japanese scene can hold. I think this is a far better utilization of everyone's time, having these well-trodden veterans who know the place and who know the role that they're not know the place, know the role that they're going to fulfill. Mm. Has a lot of value in New Japan going forward. I always look back to the sort of the early 2000s and how that worked. The likes of Takeyama getting to, we are talking about the same thing we are talking about Tag League, but the likes of Takeyama filling a role. I just feel like there's a far better utility of bringing in native Japanese talent over necessarily some transplants from overseas, just because the ability that you get if they do catch interest and they do really, really get over with the audience, you've far more greater chance of being able to use them more effectively and more regularly. You do with someone who signed up with AEW or Ring of Honor. Yes, it's my opinion and my take on it as well. So, not necessarily predicting that New Japan poach Shuji Ishikawa for by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, but Shuji, from my understanding, Ishikawa is a freelancer right now.
I thought he was still signed with All Japan.
No, he is not.
Cool. But yeah, I think there's just a lot of validity. I wouldn't imagine that there would be in the mindset of picking up a 50-year-old Shuji Ishikawa, but strange things have happened. But I just think there's a lot more in around. Absolutely love to have seen Astronauts get a World Tag League berth one day, but I don't know how close we are to that taking place, but no, that's been vaulted for a long, long time, but there we are. On to the main event. We have the team of Gibb Kidd and Yota Tsuji facing Colton Oleg and Toriano in 16 minutes and 2 seconds via War Blaster. I think this is probably the best Yano outing, both from you might call me juvenile, you might call me immature, but another man making the fun of another man because he's bald, I will chuckle at that probably until the day that I die. And him getting under Gabe's kid and popping the crowd, it got a chuckle out of me. But then showing a bit more of an older Yano, violent streak on the floor, hitting Gabe with a chair. I thought, oh, that was interesting. That was a new wrinkle to go through that I found very, very interesting. I thought this was very, very good with the interactions with Oleg and Gabe and Tsuji as well. So Yano wasn't a distractor this match, and if anything, he was actually probably a net benefit to it. I thought this was decent stuff. Probably my, I think Bishamon and Ishikawa and Despy was probably a match of the night, but I think this probably come a close second. But I really enjoyed this. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. This is the second best match of the night. Yeah, I liked it. It was pretty good. I will say, this show was the most typical World Tag League to me. I didn't feel like there was a lot of energy from the wrestlers on this show, but the work was good. I got a chuckle out of Tsuji using the exposed corner and then just calmly tying the corner pad up, like taking like extra long to do it. I got a laugh out of that. Also, Gabe made me laugh. I don't know why he was doing this. He asked, he talked to the cameras, like, where are my English people at? Like, I don't know why you expect English people in the crowd at the show, but I just, I guess he's foreshadowing his departure. he's looking for the English people.
There is one interesting, I think, wrinkle in the post match comments that they've done, sort of in the ring after the main event that Gabe and Tsuji have had so far. Again, I got another good chuckle of I think on the first night, I think Tsuji had like sort of a hoarse voice, and he was calling him Honma Tsuji, and then he went to go do it tonight, and then Tsuji's voice was miraculously fine, and another chuckle over where he was like, Yoda was obviously speaking Japanese, and he was just like, fucking understand what you're saying, mate, to him, and then he let him to obviously close out the show. I thought that was interesting. And Gabe, for all of his weird diversions in AEW, and as much as both Japanese and Western fans have been vocal about it and kind of being able to see it for what it is, which is, people expect him to not be with the company, or at least full time, in the not too distant future. The fans still seem to be buying into him, and still seems to be super popular as well. And I do have to wonder whether or not in him being positioned and obviously given main events and given tags, I mean, wins over. I mean, I know it is only Yano. Whether or not if he might be necessarily sticking around. I don't know. I'm interested to get your thoughts on it and how he's managed to sort of keep. Don't think it's the same level as it was at New Beginning in February, his level of popularity. But I still think it is there to some degree.
Look, I like Gabe Kidd a lot. I think it really hurt when he did the AEW stuff, but I think a lot of people have kind of gotten over it and gotten back into Gabe. He's definitely lost some of that energy for me, where I can't get it as invested as I was. As for whether or not he's leaving, I mean, maybe not. I mean, I'm not an avid AEW watcher, but I've kind of got the impression that maybe AEW fans haven't really latched on to him as much. So I don't know. Maybe there's been some rethinking there. I'm not sure.
Time will tell with that one as well, but I don't think it would take too much to heat him back up. I don't think you were ever probably going to get him to the level that you want, where he coming off the Kenny match,
going into the Yota match and how well received that was. He managed to capture lightning in a bottle. I don't think you're going to get that back again. But someone who has, I think the other interesting thing as well is he's gotten himself into cracking shape as well. Like he's gotten himself bang right back into shape. And I know there are some doomers out there who are looking at obviously the new beginning USA show as well. The people who are featured is obviously Gabe and Takeshita, amongst others as well. You know, if Takeshita does do the unthinkable, and well, I guess it's not unthinkable in 2025, this is New Japan we're talking about, and retain, then that might necessarily be a match that they want necessarily have earmarked. I think getting injured during the G1 really, really hurt him as well. Not his fault, but there was a lot of interesting matchups that he had from there, and the only match he was able to have was Takeshita one. I was really, really looking forward to the shorter match and where they are necessarily at their careers. I think that probably hurt him a little bit. It'd be interesting to see what happens with him. Obviously, I don't know whether or not if they get to the, we'll take obviously that through at the end, but I don't know where they go through, where they end up finishing this, but obviously they're not going to be winning it. I still don't think they would necessarily be winning it, but interesting to see what happens. Interesting to see what happens with Gabe going through into the new year. So
yeah,
go on, mate.
Counterpoint to about the new beginning in USA show. I mean, just as easily, maybe that's where you do Gabe Tsuji on that show.
Obviously,
Tsuji not a draw in the U.S., but thematically, a year after, you know, it's a year after their match that they had on, obviously, in Japan in the New Beginnings War. I don't know. Just an idea.
I wouldn't necessarily be against that. I just think that the matches that they've had after the first one, there was an element of diminishing returns for it. And I think him teaming with Tsuji after happen out on the, see that I think it was another New Japan advertiser who was there, but what would be typically the Lion Mark had like an element of finality to their feud, I guess. I don't necessarily see that, but again, you never know. On to the night 8 then, Sunday, November 30th. In Kita Persa, we had an attendance here of 1,312. On to the B block matches. First B block match of the night, we had the team of Shota Umino and Uemura take on and beat Monster Sauce in 14 minutes and 10 seconds. I thought this was perhaps one of the most house showy matches of the entire tour so far. Lance Archer beckoning out Shota Umino and him wanting to face again the young boy. I think he bullied throughout a lot of the 2010s, and then basing it around, can Shota, you know, get the big man up off his feet. I thought it was enjoyable enough. Again, was a relatively easy watch to go through, but again, not a massive lot to say about this one. Probably a lot of the matches that have taken place on these shows, in your face offensive, but nothing blow your socks off, go out of your way to watch, I guess. What about you?
I like this match. I think that, like, how Sheffield Monster Sauce has, I think, a pretty hard ceiling on this tournament. Like, none of their matches have been bad, but, like, I just, none of their matches are approaching, like, the higher level matches in this tournament, which there have been a few of. But like, I like the match. I like Uemura getting a win here. You know, this is a match that that team should win. You know, it's this was a fun first tag league match on a show that I actually this is actually I think my favorite of the four shows we watched.
Yeah, I enjoy this one in particularly the main event and the next match that we are about to talk about. So sixth match, the team of the Knockout Brothers taking on and beating United Empire team of Callum Newman and Grey O'Khan. I love the hot start. I love the brawl through the crowd. Callum and UOI kicking the shit out of each other, laying it in heavy. Really, really big fan of that. And obviously the comments that Yusuf and Oscar have been making about Callum and obviously how frustrated he was to lose this one. I thought this was probably the best of the I think this probably was the better of the two matches that we've seen from Callum and Grey O'Khan, and another really, really great match from the Knockout Brothers.
I really like this one. There was a stretch towards, like, it wasn't right at the beginning of the match, there was a stretch of this match where I was like a little bit worried because they were going a little slow, but like then Callum and Ice got in there and they were going at it. And you know, Ice just has this amazing ability to just have instant chemistry with all the young guys on this roster. It's pretty incredible. And he just, like, something I noted, because I was kind of taking a dig at Grey O'Khan here in my notes, where I was like, Grey O'Khan hasn't been in this match in like 5 minutes, and it got really great. Coincidence? I don't actually think Grey O'Khan is bad. I'm usually a Grey O'Khan defender, but I was just, it made me laugh because he was at this match for a bit of a stretch and it got really good. But yeah, I really like this match.
Yeah, same. I think if there's any recommendations that I would go for, I'd say probably go out of your way to see this and probably the main event. On to the seventh match. We had the House Torch team of Ren Narita and Sanada taking on and beating David Finlay and Hiromu Takahashi. I think this is probably one of the better House of Torture matches that we've seen from this tour. I know you've got some views on it as well, so I'll let you lead on this one, dude.
Yeah, this is absolutely my favorite. I think this is my favorite house match of the tour. You know, a little bit different antics. Not that we haven't seen this, like the handcuff spot. Obviously, David Finlay spends like half the match or more handcuffed to the rail. And like we've seen this before, you know, Yano used to do this spot a lot. But I think it works really well in this match because Finlay is very charismatic and funny. And so like him, like, talking, yelling at Hiromu through the match, and like him interacting with the ref a lot, just it worked for me. And obviously they went through, and the big spot in the match was at some point Hiromu like calls to Daiki at ringside and sends him to the back to go look for the key to the handcuffs, and then Daiki comes out and there's a big cheer because he's got the key, but then the house comes from behind and takes him out, but then Gato comes in from the steel and pokes the house guys and unlocks Finlay, and Finlay goes wild for a while. It really worked for me. You know, Gato got huge chance when he made the save. It was just this is one of those examples of, like, I think the house really works when their opponents also like have like the charisma necessary. Hiromu and Finlay are two of the more charismatic members of the roster, and they were able to play off it really well.
Again, so, and I think something novel as well. Like, I think there was, like, for these more sort of like house show tours that they do, I think there was one that sticks out in my mind. I can't remember if it was this year or last year. I'm pretty sure it was an Evil Tsuji semi final, and I don't know if you remember. It was the one where Shingo came out and make the save, and he's in like these like street clothes. He's wearing like terrible pair of jeans. But the pop that he got coming out to make the save, it was like Stone Cold fucking Shingo Takagi coming out, and I think that works really, really well. Where it's like You know, you've got someone where there's more crowd participation. There's more participation with it, and the crowd can get behind it, and there's a lot more come up and go alongside it. And it's not just power in the eyes, grot wire, whiskey bottle spot, dick-to-dick contact, and there's something that's actually got a bit more, I want to say, nuance to it, because we are talking about, you know, heel tactics 101 here, but something that's just a little bit different. Not all to say, all for naught anyway, and the team of Ren and Sanada still picked the win here as well. So moving into the main event and talking about pro participation as well, we have the team of El Fantasmo and Hiroshi Tanahashi beating the team of Ryoue Oiwa and Zack Sabre Jr. in 22 minutes via CR2, followed by a high five floor. For me, I don't think this is probably the best match that you're going to see out of Zach and her and Tanahashi, and I think all four of these guys, if they were to have another match, I think they probably necessarily do perhaps something a little bit better. But in the space of God knows how many matches that Tana's worked this year, so with super glue, tissue, hopes, prayers, and, you know, spots, towels from arenas that he's picked up along the way, probably the best that you're going to get. But for me, it's the crowd interaction and the buy-in and how emotional Tana was in the post match, and, you know, ELP coming over and wiping his tears and saving his modesty, as it were. That was a really biggest thing for me. It was okay, but for me, it's a lot about, you know, this crowd and Nikita. We're probably never going to see Tanahashi wrestle ever again. Getting to see him main event and hit one last high fly floor and picking up the win and getting his win back over Iowa, which I'm not particularly, you know, high on, but someone has to take the fall, and it's not going to be Zach as well. And for the moment that I created for that audience, I'm not going to begrudge it. So okay, but a lot of it was, you know, for the audience, for the crowd that we're in, and left, so I guess for the audience at home in terms of match quality and things like that. But enjoyable enough, I thought.
Yeah, this is one where earlier you were higher on a match. This is the one, I guess, I'm going to be pretty high on this match, actually. This is probably actually my, we're going to have to mark this for an, are you back?
I am back, yes.
Do you want to mark that just real quick? We don't have to cut out this whole section, but just.
Yeah, do you know, it just says an hour ago, so it started 1912. Ooh.
So that would be 1 hour 18 minutes.
1 hour 18. Oh, right. Got it. Do you want me to take it from the top?
Yeah, well, we can just redo this match. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. The edit point here. 8th match, team of El Fantasmo and Hiroshi Tanahashi beating the team of TMDK in Zack Sabre Jr. and Ryoue Oiwa in 22 minutes and 10 seconds via high fly floor, which preceded a CR2 from El Fantasmo. I thought it was fine. I thought it was good enough. It's probably tag matches. Under different circumstances, Tana, ELP, Oiwa, and Zach could have, but with the limitations that obviously Tanahashi has, thought was good enough. But the sort of the post match reaction and Akita getting to see probably Tanahashi main event and hit a high fly floor one last time was a feel good moment and one that I enjoyed. A bit slow to get started, once it kicked in, match was good enough. Well, what about you, Jacob?
I'm actually a lot higher on this match. This is actually probably my second favorite match of these four shows. a lot, like, the matches that I've, like, not that I've complained a lot about any of the tournament, but the matches I do, like, have complaints are ones where, like, they don't have a lot of energy. And this one, I felt like, had that energy. I felt like everyone here was working. This was this felt like an important match for some reason. I'm not sure exactly why, but it just did to me. And obviously, Tana getting the win, obviously, like, who knows? This could be, like, the second to last Tana go-home promo, you know? And there was a lot of energy to match. I really liked it. I wanted to note, Oiwa has started doing... He's done it for a couple months, but he's really started doing this... I guess you would call it, like, a reverse single-leg crab. And I think that submission looks amazing. I think he should... I think that should be his, like, go-to submission from now on. I know for a while he was using the... arc lock or something. I forget exactly what he was called. It was an arm submission, but I really like the old Nigel
McGuinness top arm lock thing that he used submission that he used to do. Another interesting thing as well. I don't know whether or not he's been watching his ROH tapes, but it reminds me of remember Colt Cabana's old submission finish, the Billy Goat's Curse, where he used to do that, but he used to do the double leg version. It's very, very similar to that. I like it. I'm the same. I think that the way that he cranks it in, the way that he sets it up looks really, really good. But yeah, that absolutely should be his submission finisher moving forwards. But yeah, I see what you're saying. For me, like I said, it was all about the occasion of like a smaller crowd getting to see Tana main event one last time that I thought really carried it.
And absolutely.
I think that is his. I don't think he's scheduled for any more main events. I could be wrong, but I don't believe he has any more main events.
So unless he's main eventing the Road to Tokyo. Tokyo Dome Gorokin, this could be it.
I think that's probably a given, because I think they're only doing one night of Gorokin this year, so I think he'll probably get some all-star tag or six man involved in with that perhaps. And I think he hasn't had a singles match against as of yet. I know Ren is definitely one, and I think
Hiromu as well. I think there Hiromu. Was kind of a there was kind of a tease that maybe Hiromu. That could be the match at Gorokin, maybe.
That would definitely be fitting for that one as well. So that takes us to the end of the block nights. So block standings, if we go through A block, we currently have a three-team tie of El Desperado, Yotsuji and Gabe Kidd, and Evil and Don Fale on 6 points. Followed by Bishamon, Yano and Bolton, and Shingo and Driller on 4 points, and on Big Fat Goose Egg, Yujiro and Chase on 0. And then for the B block, we have this. We have Ren and Sanada out front on 6 points. Followed by
everyone else except for ELP and Tana.
ELP and Tanahashi on 4 points as well. It is 2025 New Japan, so we'll have some parity booking somewhere. And this is why I like the likes of Yujiro and Chase being in one block as well, having a dedicated pinnated team who are going to look at the lights. Six nights out of seven, or even seven nights out of seven, as it comes to. So, I think the natural conclusion to wrap up this podcast would be: is who do you have making out the blocks? Firstly, and who do you see going to the final, winning, and what do you think? Do you think they will go for a straight singles of Wrestle Kingdom, or do you think they'll be a multi-man?
That's interesting. It's so hard to look at B block right now just because of the parity booking. Like, any of these teams can easily get through. I personally would like it to be Finlay, Hiromu, and ZSJ Oiwa going through. I have a feeling it's going to be All right, who do I think is... There's going to be at least one house team going through. I have a feeling it's Evil Fale. So I guess we don't need to have a house team in B-Block go through. Not that we need to anyway, but I think they will. And then I think it'll be Evil Fale, Bishamon.
Yeah. And what about B-Block?
B-Block, I think it'll be... I think Oiwa ZSJ, I don't know. I just get the feeling that they're going through, and then either Finlay Hiromu or Knockout Brothers is what I'm thinking right now.
The working back from, I think that World Tag League winners will be Shota and Yuya. I think they will get out of B Block. I just think it is. I think it's set up pretty well for them to have. I think it's set up pretty well in them getting their, obviously looking to get their win back. I'm trying to work out when they actually.
They have Knockout Brothers on the last block night, so that would make sense that they get their win back and get to the go through.
I can see that being the move. I think Greater Khan and Alan Newman potentially make out of this block also as well. But equally, I could see Hiromu and Finlay making out as well. But if I was going to go with two teams from B block, I would probably say in my head, I would say Shoya definitely, and I would say Finlay Hiromu from B block, and then from A block. I fancy Kid and Tsuji to actually make it through all the way to the finals with Evil and the Don well. I fancy a Tsuji, Kid, Shota and Yuya final with Shoya winning out as being a potential post Wrestle Kingdom wrinkle to come in, especially if they don't end up taking the tag titles off, if they get a pinfall victory maybe over Yota Tsuji. I don't necessarily do that, but if they get through from there, a bit of foreshadowing as to what the early part of next year would be. But equally, it's 2025 New Japan, and the final could be Evil versus Don Fale against Shoya in an absolute house of torture bollocks fest. Nothing would surprise me.
It's 2025. The final could be Ren and Sonata versus Fale and Evil.
yeah. If Sonata was teamed up with anybody else, I would in House of Torture, I would say. I just don't see them pushing Ren that hard, even in tag league, from to make it out the block. Like he's ridiculously young. How young he is? I think he only turned what, 27 or 28 the other day.
Yeah.
He's born in 97. He's still very, very young. But I just don't see what they're doing.
I was about to say that it's set up perfectly for Ren and Sonata to get upset on the last block night by Tana and ELP. But the last time I said, oh, it's set up perfectly for the house person to get upset on the last night, Evil just won. So.
Yeah. Very true. Yeah, I see. So who do you have winning Tag League, and how do you see the permutations for Wrestle Kingdom going then?
I have a hard time keeping Zach off of Wrestle Kingdom, and I feel like Zach Way was a good move for the tag division right now. So that's where I'm going right now, is Zach Oiwa.
Yeah. I think with the banner year that Zach's had, and obviously holding the title, I think he might have something necessarily bigger in plan, bigger plan for Wrestle Kingdom. And I think Iowa, again, I don't see any faith that they've had in him in pushing him to is going to be a slim down card. I see Iowa being in some kind of
the Rambo.
Yeah, with Hartley as some kind of six man team. I see that being a lot more in the tea leaves for him. But yeah. So I guess out of these shows that we watched, what would you say would be what would be the match if you would recommend for people to go the way to see? What would that be?
I would say I'll give three matches, my top three matches, and I would say they are ELP Tana versus Zach Oiwa from 11:30. I would say also from 11:30, Knockout Brothers versus Callum Great O'Conn, and then I would give you Knockout Brothers versus ELP and Tana. A lot of ELP and Tana, actually.
Again, like I think looking at the attendances from last year, this year there was there's been, I think there has been a marked improvement. I was looking at the tag league attendances last year, and there was some in the hundreds. I think there's only been one show this year, which is hit less than a thousand people. If I was to go, I would say Knockout Brothers and UE. I really enjoyed Shimon and Shuji Ishikawa and SB. Third one, what would I go for? You know, purely because it entertained me. Hiromu and Finley versus Sonata and Renderia.
Great pick. That's a great pick. Yeah. I would just say if you want to just pick one show, do that 11:30 show. I think that 11:30 show has a really good group of block matches.
Yeah. I think it has also been noticeable as well as not being the, although there has been a lot of, lights on matches, shall we say. They haven't brought a lighting rig for a lot of these, apart from Sendai, where you would naturally expect it. There has been a lot of empty seats. At least there hasn't been any what I like to call Amazon warehouse, or there's been a lot of limited Amazon warehouse with bright LED lights this time around so far. There is still time though, so I probably cursed it for the next venues. But yeah, that's great, mate. Thank you very much for chatting New Japan and World Tag League for the last hour or so.
Yeah,
any plugs that you want to? Got any plugs that you want to that you want to get in?
I don't really do anything. You can find me. I'm in the Super JCast Discord. A lot of these shows I'll be watching live. Maybe not so much for the World Tag League. I usually it's cold. It's December. I like to watch those during the daytime. But you can find me in there. I give a very random shout out just because I know a lot of people are struggling with wrestling these days, and it's hard to find wrestling that is enjoyable. I give a shout out to Sportiva. They have a rookie named Ali Najima, who's just a great wrestler. And go check out some matches from him. They're all on YouTube.
Sportiva, where are they based out of?
Nagoya. They wrestle in a bar. It's a tiny promotion.
Nice. I have no plugs. I am on Twitter, but I have I think less than 100 followers. So I have no real things to plugs. Just thanks for listening to me ramble for the last hour and a bit. Right stuff. Thanks very much, guys. It's been a pleasure. Catch you next time. Take it easy.
Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling. on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.